in Galatians, starting with chapter 3. The real children of Abraham then are all those who put their faith in God. So are we real children of Abraham? Yes, we are. So all the promises this book, scriptures, this book talks about that belongs to Abraham, the covenants and everything belongs to you and me. Everything that belongs to covenant, that belongs to Abraham, belongs to us because we are children of God. What's more, the scripture looked forward to this time when God would accept the Gentiles too on the basis of their faith. Now, are we Gentiles? And is he going to accept us on accordance with our faith? Yes, absolutely. So this is the same way. So it said God promised this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. And nations are still being blessed through Abraham. And so it is, all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Now, if people don't put their faith in Jesus, this is not theirs. This covenant does not belong to the people that does not believe in Jesus Christ. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. Now, this is the scary part. When you get saved and you walk in grace, you walk above the law. And there is no sickness, no sin, no nothing there. It's just absolutely, you walk in obedience to God's word, you walk in grace, you walk above the law, and you're not under God's curse. But if you sin, the minute you sin, you have just fell from grace. And we're going to get to this a little bit more in the scripture in a minute. You're going to fall from grace, and when you fall from grace, you fall from that platform up there where they're you're being led by the Holy Spirit, so you fall back under the law, and that's where Satan and his host of demons are, and that's what makes you sick. When you fall from grace, you fall from walking in faith to walking under the law. And when you fall down to that, you walk under the law, then the devil has legal right to you, and I mean, he will make you sick, he will kill you, he will kill your children, and all you got to do to get out of that is repent of your sin and get back up there in faith. And you're above the law now. The law has no hold on you unless you let it have. But unfortunately, the majority of the church today was just like I was. Most of my life, I didn't even know I had an Abrahamic covenant that belonged to me. I would have said, I don't have a clue. Well, haven't you been in church a while? At that time, probably 30 years. Yeah. And you don't know your Abrahamic covenant? Oh, I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to give each one of y'all a notepad. And I want each one of you to write down your entire Abrahamic covenant before you leave today. You can't go home till you get that done. Okay, I'll shorten it. If you can tell me where it's found in the scriptures, the summary of it. Now, if you know the whole Abrahamic covenant, you know everything from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 50 or 60, somewhere way on up there. You have to get about 40 or 50 chapters in Genesis, wherever it is. But all the book of Genesis, it's got all the promises. I think there's 61 of those promises that you'll find scattered throughout the book of Genesis that all belong to Abraham, so those belong to you. But then there's a place in the book of Deuteronomy, in one place, in one chapter, that's got the whole summary in 14 verses. If you know those 14 verses, you know what's rightfully yours. God being a faith God, if you don't know this covenant that belongs to you, you cannot call God in remembrance of what you do not know. That's why I was sick most of my life. Like I've told you many times, as a young Christian, accepted Jesus at the age 11. By the time I was 40 years old, I'd been down on my back 6 or 8 times. I'd had double pneumonia a couple of times. Goodness, colds and flus every year. I mean, it was normal. Every year I had a cold or a flu, at least once, sometimes twice, because I didn't know the covenant. I didn't know how it worked. They said it was time for the flu shot. I always lined up to get my flu shot. Yeah, I'd get my flu shots, and then this is what I say. Well, I get flu time. It's that time of the year again. I guess I'll have the flu. You know, so I better get down and get my flu shot, or I'll have the flu. And so, guess what? You come down with the flu every year. We don't understand the covenant and what belongs to us as children of the King. And then finally, one day when I learned the truth, I asked the Lord the question. I said, Lord, if this is all true, it looks like I was not only saved on the cross 2,000 years ago, but I was healed on the cross 2,000 years ago. I said, Lord, if I was healed 2,000 years ago, then why have I been sick so many times since I accepted you as my Lord and Savior? And he spoke to me audibly. He said, son, I'm a faith God. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. Now, is that written in the Word too? Yes. those every word he just said is already written in the Word of God. But he spoke those words to me, and of course he said, and you have never received me as your personal healer by faith in my word. So that day, long time ago, 30-something years ago, I knelt there on that floor. I raised my hands and I said, Father, I see it. You are a faith God. And if I receive these things by faith, they belong to me. So I now know these things are mine. So I'm receiving you as my personal healer. And from this day forth, I will never have another sick day in the name of Jesus. I ain't never had another sick day. I have worked every day. Do you totally trust him to be your healer, or are you going to mix it with a doctor? And of course, you know, there's maybe sometimes you have to go to a doctor, but anyway, it says, but those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all these commands that are written in God's book of the law. Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you that I never met a man, not yet, that I know of, that knew all of the law. I mean, today we don't even know what it is. The total law had like 613. How could I possibly keep all those? I mean, I do good just to keep up with the Ten Commandments. So let me ask you this question. If there's none of us in here could possibly keep all those, nobody. There's nobody. So since you can't keep them all, since you don't know them, you're automatically under a curse from God. And when you're under a curse from God, that's going to bring sickness and disease upon you sooner or later. And that's where we live as Christians, unfortunately, but you don't have to. Consequently, it is clear that no one can ever be right with God by trying to keep the law. See, Paul even knew this back in his day. He's telling us nobody can. He said it, and I'm telling you, it still can't be done. For the scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Now then, by faith, you and I don't have to worry about the law. When we walk in faith, we learn the promises that belongs to us, just like me. When I learned that Jesus had paid the price on the cross, actually before he went to the cross, for my healing, and I learned that when I received him, when I actually received what he had done for me by faith on that cross, or before he went to the cross, then it belonged to me. But that's just like salvation. I mean, how many years ago was it that Jesus died on the cross for the whole world? Over 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on that cross so that any human being, I don't care who you are, I don't care what nationality, I don't care what color, creed, nothing else you are, if you come to Jesus and accept him, ask him to forgive you and save you, how many of you will he turn down? Nobody. It's written. He wants all to be saved. But you have to pursue that and accept that by faith. Now then, if you come to Jesus and accept that by faith, you know, now the average person will tell you, well, you know, but he was a good man. How many times have I heard that? 8 years ago when Cheryl's dad passed away, he had been a good man. I mean, she loved that man with all her heart. That was her daddy. And he had been good to her. He had provided for her. He had taken care of her. He loved his daughter. It was obvious. He showed it. And so when he had a stroke or a blood clot or whatever it was, and he was going to die, she called me and wanted me to pray. Now, I was not her husband at this time. She had just been going to my church. She wanted me to pray. Well, we did the first time, and after we prayed, she stood with that man for, I forget, 55 days or whatever it was. She brought him through that hospital, got him out of there and back at work. And he's driving a car and everything else. Well, when we prayed, I said, Lord, he's an older man, and we know he can't live forever. So when you get ready to take him home, just do it suddenly next time. You know, we don't want him to lay there in a hospital for a year. Nobody would want to lay there in a hospital for a year. Not with the drugs and junk they put in you. So anyway, when he had that little aneurysm or that blood clot the next time, about a year later, we went down to the hospital, and there he was on life support. And Cheryl sitting there saying, Lord, I don't know if my daddy's saved or not, but I got to know today, somehow, you got to show me if my daddy's saved. I do not want my daddy to go into eternity without knowing you as Lord and Savior. Now, he'd been a good man. I mean, you know, the average person, if you said, is he saved? Why, they'd say, he's got to be. He's a good guy, you know. I mean, he worked hard to provide for his family. You know, he loved his family and everything. He's got to be a guy that would go to heaven. That's what everybody says. But when I walked in, Cheryl said, honey, can we pray for my daddy? I said, sure. She said, I don't know if he's saved or not. I've got to know, is he saved or not? So I walked up and I knelt my knees like this down on the side of the bed. Just as I raised my hands to pray for him, immediately I closed my eyes and I saw a vision, and her daddy was falling like this backwards into the abyss of hell. I saw him falling into hell. I never cry for nobody. I didn't even cry when my own wife and daughter got killed in a car wreck. But I didn't even know this man. I had not talked to him but once or twice, and then only a few seconds. But I saw a human being falling into the abyss of hell, and I never cried so many tears. And me, I started screaming, "Howard, call on the name of Jesus." And tears just began to gush out of my eyes. I began to wash the bed down. "Howard, call on the name of Jesus." And Cheryl said, "Yes, Daddy, call on the name of Jesus." She don't even know what's going on. She's just doing what I'm doing. And I'm watching her daddy just like this go backwards into hell. It's an awful thing to see somebody falling into hell, especially a good man. But good don't get it with God. He was falling in, and I'm screaming, "Howard, please call on the name of Jesus." Now, what does the scripture say? Anyone that calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Is that what the scripture says? So that's why I'm saying, "Howard, I mean, we're too late to talk to him about Jesus. You know, it's down to the wire. This man's dying. He's within seconds of eternity. And once he gets into that place, there ain't no getting him out." And as I'm screaming, "Howard," with tears gushing out of my eyes, but I ain't never cried for nobody in my life like I cried for her daddy that day. But I ain't never saw nobody else fall into hell either. It's quite a scene in a hospital, I guess. All of a sudden, I heard her daddy, as he's falling over backwards like this, say, "Jesus." When he said Jesus, I saw a bright light from somewhere up above. It came down and illuminated her daddy and stopped him from falling. And then the light drew him over forward, and just like Superman, he flew into the light and disappeared, and I never saw him again. You don't want to wait till you get that close. There might not be a man of God there to tell you in the spirit realm to call on the name of Jesus. Do you realize if I hadn't have been there that day, you know where that man would be today? He'd be in hell. And there ain't no getting out of that place. I don't care what anybody tells you. You can't pray nobody out of hell. Once they get there, they're there. And it's going to be eternity in that place. You know, the place they are right now, although it's a hot, terrible place, it's not the final resting place or the final tormenting place, I should say. According to God's word, they're going to be in this terrible place until the end of the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. And then they're going to be resurrected from the dead, and they're going to be judged.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop right here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled New Year's Resolution, Use Me for Your Glory, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.